our numbers down a little bit tonight, and but we're glad everybody's here, everybody that made it, and hopefully we'll have a good lesson to listen to, and hopefully we'll learn some things from it. And that should be our goal every time we come, is to learn more about what we can do to be pleasing to God. And that's something we definitely need to do. It's more than just coming to worship God. Yes, we come here for several reasons, and one of the reasons is to see each other. We don't think about it that way sometimes, but that's why we come together, is to see each other and spend time with each other, because we need each other. And that's the subject of our Sunday morning study, is the fact that we need each other. And so we're going to learn this lesson tonight, and I'm sure we've all familiar with it. We've heard it many times in our lifetime, and it's the parable of the wise and foolish builders. And we're going to look at this. The parables, remember, they are stories that teach lessons and truths. In other words, you know, like a parallel, it goes side by side. And so as Jesus used parables, he basically would talk to somebody about something they were familiar with, and then there would be a spiritual application that would come later on. And so, remember when I first got here, we talked about the Big Mac, right? And we made the various comparisons, and the comparisons of the church with the McDonald's and stuff like that. But we can do that. Whatever method we need to try and tell somebody what it's like. What is it like to be a Christian? Well, you got to find out what they know and then talk about something that they're familiar with. Some people have the ability, if they find out that you're a builder or you work in one profession or another, they can use that to tell you, okay, you understand how you need to lay the foundation before you get started. Well, the same thing happens in Christianity. A foundation needs to be laid. So that's just parables. They run alongside with the truth. So there's lessons to be learned. And these stories are told in a way to explain something of a spiritual nature in a physical way. And Jesus taught the people by parables. Matthew 13 says he didn't speak to the people unless he spoke in parables. And so we have just as much to learn from these parables as those who heard them from Jesus. And we, on this side of the cross, we can understand and make the spiritual application a whole lot easier than they could. All they heard was just some great teacher, some orator, telling them a story. And okay, that makes sense. A lot of them, well, there's probably a moral to the story, and they quite were not ready for that. And then remember one time when Jesus telling this short little parable, says the Sadducees perceived that he was talking about them. And so some people, okay, he's talking about me. He hadn't really called me by name, but it's like when you tell me you stepped on my toes. Well, I'm just putting the word out there. If your toes were stepped on, then that's on you. But anyway, that's what they heard from Jesus. And we can learn from that. Now, we're going to read this, and like I say, we're very familiar with it. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. All right, this is on the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus delivered one of the greatest sermons ever preached, and it was recorded for us. That he could more readily be seen and heard, the sermon was delivered from a mountain to his disciples that had gathered to hear his message. And they have places over there in the Middle East where they have a bunch of canyons and places. And so by standing there, depending on how the shape of the rock is, and it's really called acoustics, But how to save the rock is he could be talking and literally thousands of people can hear him. If you've ever been in one of those places or an amphitheater, it is pretty much the same idea behind it. He speaks and the sound just resonates out. And so many people could hear him. You know, without a microphone, I mean, some of us, we'd lose our voice if we tried to speak to 1,000 people. But there were thousands of people there, and he spoke, and they all heard him. They heard his message. And then it was recorded for us. It's been called the Sermon on the Mount because that's where he was. It was recorded and preserved for our benefit in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Some of the most powerful words you will find in all of the Bible. And so Jesus gave the parable of the wise and foolish builders at the close of this great lesson for mankind. He delivered all this information and he basically said, okay, now the ball's in your court. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to take these words and act upon them, or are you just going to let them pass? And this is what will happen. And he used a description which people were probably very familiar with. All right. It tells us not only the importance of hearing or reading his words, but the necessity of being obedient to his teaching. And in order to receive eternal salvation offered by God through his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There will be many on Judgment Day that will profess to have heard the gospel of Christ and believe Jesus to be the Savior, the Son of God, but are lacking in obedience. They heard God's will in the message of Christ, but did not do it. And we know there's going to be a lot of those. Immediately before this parable, we have the famous words in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. If you don't know them by memory, you need to know that. Not everyone who says them to be Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. I mean, those are some very important words that we need to share with our denominational friends, because they're following the doctrines and precepts of men and not the doctrine and precepts of God and Jesus Christ. So he talked about that, and they said, but Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that in your name? He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. All right, so he said those, then he went straight into and wrapped up his sermon. All right, to these Jesus will say, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. All right, in this lesson, the parable of the wise and foolish builders is used to teach us truth from God's word. And if you doubt what I have to say about this lesson, the principles I'm going to talk about, you can ask Randy. Randy inspects houses, and he can tell you that what I'm about to say is correct. So, back me up if you want to. If not, who cares? But anyway, all right, the wise builder. We're going to talk about this individual. The wise man is one that is prudent and exercises good judgment in all that he does. He is well informed, having a broad range of knowledge, experience, and understanding. Given the task of building a house for himself, how would the wise, prudent man respond? No doubt he would choose a floor plan having sufficient space to accommodate his needs and the needs of his family. Likewise, he would select quality building materials suitable for the type of house he was building and having long life expectancy. All right, he would be assured that all beams and columns, joints, rafters, walls would have engineering specs that would support the structure. Finally, he would search for a suitable building site. Ideally, it would be in a neighborhood in the vicinity he wanted to reside. All right, he would test the ground, and finding just underneath a layer of soil, solid rock, the wise builder would be well pleased, knowing that his new house would be constructed on a firm foundation. The test came soon after his home was completed. We remember in the story, the storm brought torrential rains, floods, and winds. We get those around here every now and then. So, yeah, we know what that's like. And of course, we see what happened. We saw what happened this past couple of weeks down there in the south. the mudslides. A lot of homes wiped out. If the fires don't get them, the mudslides do. But still, I mean, torrential rains will do that. And really, they didn't get that much rain, just about 2 or 3 inches. And all that damage came about. All right, the house passed the test. And it withstood the elements. It was built on a firm foundation. Now, thinking about that, the wise man heard the word of God. The wise man obeyed the word of God. The wise man chose a proper foundation of Christ and the apostles' doctrine. The wise man dedicated his life to serving God. It was going to be from now on. The wise man continued to learn from God and did what God commanded. I mean, so yes, we needed to do it from now on. There's a story back in Texas about, you know, they tell different kinds of jokes called Aggie jokes. Texas A&M, and some of them get really ridiculous. This Aggie walks into the hardware or in the lumber yard, says, "I want a 2x4," and the lumber yard manager says, "How long do you want it?" "Well, from now on." I mean, that should be our position when it comes to serving God. How long are you going to serve God? As long as it's convenient? As long as you feel like it? I mean, what do we say about marriage when people, "Well, I'll just do it as long as I feel like it, then it'll be over." No, marriage is for life. Our commitment to God is to be for life. And a wise person does that. They hear his words and act upon them. Now, we'll just quickly look at the foolish builder. And you might know some people like this. A foolish man is one having little or no good judgment as he conducts his everyday life. He makes unwise, imprudent decisions. Given the same task of building a house for himself, how would he respond? The selection of his floor plan, the quality of his building materials, and the soundness of his engineering design would all be doubtful, and he would give very little attention to it. In other words, he'd just throw up a shack, is what he'd do. Even if his planning were passable, what would happen if he gave little consideration about his site selection? Well, we know what happens. If he chooses a home site based only on its convenient location, he may make a foolish choice. And we see that every now and then. Of course, nature operates in certain ways. You know, they had this part of the coastline up there. They had a whole bunch of houses along the coastline. Now I understand they're tearing them down because the coast is eroding. And they got to do that before somebody gets hurt or killed. And so that's a poor choice. And so, of course, as we're talking about, he builds a house on the sand. Now, suppose he ignored the fact that the base of the site on which he built his house was sand and completed his new home on that foundation. I mean, it might be a beautiful home. It might look wonderful. He might have it all painted up and look magnificent. Might be the pride of the whole neighborhood. But you know, there's a problem, right? Yes, he built it on the sand. Now, let's see what happens. As long as it doesn't rain, I guess he'd be okay, right? Yeah, of course he would. But rains do come. It would be tested by a storm. Rains, floods, and violent winds would test it, and regardless of how well constructed the house was, the foundation would fail and give way because it was sand. And that's very true. Some people build houses and the bottom gives out and the house just goes down in one piece with it. You've seen those videos on TV and the news when you see a whole house running down the river. I mean, the house gave way. The house was very well constructed. It didn't really break apart until it hit a bridge or something. But you'd see a whole house just floating down the river. And so that's what happens when you're built not on a solid foundation. So the house failed the test. It could not withstand the elements because it was built on an unstable, shifting foundation of sand. Okay, spiritual application. The foolish man heard the word of God. The foolish man did several things. He did not obey the word of God. He did what he wanted to do in his worship to God. You know, that's the doctrines and precepts of men we talked about. He did what he wanted to do. He was selfish. He didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. He was going to do his own thing. And he kind of expected God to accept that. He added to the word of God, or he took away from the word of God. Either way, when you follow the doctrines and precepts of men, you got one or the other. They're either adding to it or leaving stuff out. And so, he rejected God. When he did that, he rejected God. There's just no other way to say it. It's what he did. Now, let's examine ourselves. We need self-examination. Have I been wise? Have I been foolish? So think about this. Which home would you trust to protect your physical life? Well, after seeing what happened to both of them, you'd want a house that's built on a solid foundation. That's where you'd want to be. And you'd want to be in a place of security and protection. You know, back in Texas and Oklahoma and the Midwest, they have tornadoes. And they have companies that go around and build these safe rooms. Sometimes they're storm shelters. Sometimes they're little holes in the ground which are covered up in concrete. But either way, if you are suffering, if there's a tornado coming, you want to be someplace that is protected from the elements and flying debris and stuff like that. You'd want to be in a safe place. And we always would. And even in storms sometimes, you know, the hurricanes that came through. We rode out the hurricanes all the time. But we were 50 miles from the coast, so we felt okay with that. But still, the rain comes down, it's hard, trees are breaking all around, falling onto our house and losing electricity and stuff like that. But yet the house withstood it. We were safe. And of course, you read, people think, well, I'll just ride out the storm. Then guess what? No house. That's what happened with that one hurricane. About 50 or 60 people decided to stay there along the coastline. Oh, my house is strong. Wiped out every one of them. They were finding people for a long time. But anyway, no doubt it would be the one built on a solid foundation, capable of withstanding the elements of nature. Now the question is, how safe is your spiritual life? Are you taking chances? Are you like the foolish builder who's just kind of haphazard, just wait for the moment, see what happens, and we'll go with it, and not do any planning at all? On what foundation does your house stand? You know, Jesus, or God, told Hezekiah, get your house in order, for you're going to die. And Jesus told the parable about the rich man who had those barns, and he had a bumper crop. He said, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. I'd have enough for years to come. And I'll say, eat, drink, and be happy with what I have. And Jesus said, your life is required of you tonight. So, what foundation is your life on? Is it built on a spiritual foundation or just whatever? I mean, let's face it, there's either or. It's either a spiritual foundation or it's something else. The wise man heard the word of God, just like we've all had that opportunity to hear the word of God. So did the foolish man. The foolish man decided otherwise. He wasn't going to do it. The wise man obeyed the word of God. The foolish man was not obedient. So your spiritual house should not be built on hearing the word of God alone. Oh yeah, I hear the word of God. And that's all you really need to do. Or that's how the foolish person feels. When God tells us to do something, we should do it, right? And God gives us his word for us to obey. And that's what we should do. Hearing and obeying the Word of God is a solid foundation on which you should build your spiritual house. Assuredly, it will be tested by the temptations, trials, and tribulations of life. The only question is, will it stand? This, Jesus says, we should learn from the parable of the wise and the foolish builders. And yes, those are lessons we can learn. So consider those and examine yourself. I mean, am I doing right? Or am I being foolish? I mean, that you're probably not ever going to run across somebody who will declare that they are themselves a fool. It's their actions that declare it. You remember the Proverbs. You know, a wise man keeps his tongue, but a fool declares himself. And so, don't be a fool. Don't be foolish in your decisions. Put your life in God's hands, serve the Lord, obey Him, and live. And you'll have that chance. We're going to sing our invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.